you so much. Good to see you again this evening. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to come, and it's an honor to stand here where your pastor stands. So we're going to look in Genesis chapter 1 this evening, please. Genesis chapter number 1. I'm not going to take time, not that I shouldn't, but I've just got a lot of ground to cover, and not what I have to say is more important than Scripture, but hope I didn't preach too long this morning, so we'll try to deal with our thought as quickly as we can tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and so I hope you'll listen, and pray the Lord to help me keep everything in line. It's a lot of material that I want to deal with tonight, if we may. In Genesis chapter number 1, we'll read just a few verses, but I want you to look in verse number 1, please. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You can be seated. Thank you. We'll pray, if you will, please, for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here this evening. Please, Lord, open our understanding. Help us, Lord, I pray, to comprehend these truths. I pray that you would settle in our hearts these things that we'll be dealing with this evening, and let us understand, Lord, what a battle we're actually in, that your precious will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. I talked to your pastor about this thought some time ago, and it's been on my heart a lot, and just thinking about it. So I want to deal with this thought tonight, if we can. The theology of creation. The theology of creation. Or we could say the miracle of creation. And when we take in the vastness of God's ability and power to create everything that there is, we see what a vast topic this is. And of course, there's no way we're just going to scratch the bare of the hem of the garment this evening. But I have a particular thought that I want to convey to you, if we can, that the word of the Lord would be accomplished here tonight. I'm dealing with tonight probably the most overlooked and undervalued doctrine in the Scripture, the doctrine of creation. I think the church has lost this battle in the common public arena. Unfortunately, there's more of them than there are of us. But doesn't matter. It doesn't change the Word of God any. If everybody was against it, wouldn't matter. It doesn't change God any. My pastor said something recently, made a statement just in passing that I've been thinking about, and he said, if you really think about it, and it's kind of discouraging in a way, but it lets us kind of have a perspective on what's going on. Everybody in the world that don't believe like we are against what we believe. That encompasses a lot of people. That encompasses every other religion. Encompasses people that don't even claim religion. And so nevertheless, whether they believe it or not, we know that the Word of God is true. It may not be something that's easily understood, but nevertheless, if it's written in the Scriptures, we know it to be so. And I'm grateful for that tonight. We know that the battle is actually going against Scripture, and that's happened since Genesis 3. There's been a battle over what God has said, but in this particular passage of Scripture, I believe it to be such a great doctrine in the Scripture. Well, God opens up the Word of God with it. It is the first thing we are confronted with when we open this Bible. And he says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I hope you believe that tonight. I hope that you have settled that in your heart. And you say, well, preacher, what about the scientific evidence? What does that have to do with anything? We try to justify Genesis 1:1 and the remaining of the chapter based on science, but science has nothing to do with it. And I'll deal with some of that as we go along, if we may, this afternoon. In this thought of the theology of creation, the word theology means the science of God and divine things. There are two branches of this. One is the natural. The natural means the knowledge of God by His works through the light of nature. And we can see the handiwork of God. Someone said if you want to see the art, A-R-T, the art of God, look at creation. And if you want to see the heart of God, you look at Calvary. But in our revealing of creation and our understanding of it, the two branches, one's natural and one is revealed theology. The word revealed theology simply means that which is to be learned from revelation. And we learn this from the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Well, we'd be in a mess without the Bible, wouldn't we? And I'm so grateful for it. Although people lived for God without the Bible. In Old Testament days, they lived for God and didn't even have a Bible. But you and I are blessed. And yet we overlook the importance of it. In this thought of theology, there's a moral theology. It teaches us divine laws relating to matters and actions. Boy, we need that in our day, don't we? As the brother was talking about how warped and mentally disturbed people are in this day, and we try to justify it by saying that they're all right and we're the ones that are wrong. But nevertheless, in our verses here, in our scripture, we're dealing with the theology or the miracle of creation. Creation is a theological issue and not a scientific issue. And I'll explain to you why I believe that. The word theology used to be called the queen of the sciences because people took value in what the Bible said. The reason that it doesn't, science doesn't really matter in this particular event, you say, well, we've got to get science to verify and justify Genesis chapter number one. No, we don't. Because what they say is, what the scientists say today, they may change that next week. But the Word of God never changes. And in this thought of the theology of creation, the word science simply means this. It means the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation. It just simply means to see or to behold. And may I say to you, there was nobody except for God to see and behold creation. There's one eyewitness account of creation, and you have it right before you tonight. Genesis chapter 1. He was there. He allowed men to pin it down what actually happened in the creation of the world. Charles Darwin came out with a book, and he called it On the Origin of Species. The word origin simply means the first existence or the beginning of something. Well, we have that account of what happened in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth here, and God was the only one present when that happened. Sometimes in a trial, you want an eyewitness account, somebody that was there that saw it so they can verify what happened and which claim is correct. Well, I'm telling you, we have an eyewitness account before us tonight in Genesis chapter number 1. Here in this passage of scripture, the word science simply means knowledge. And in this thought, and I've got so many different references, I'm not going to be able to address all of them tonight, but the word creation simply means the act of creating or the act of causing something to exist. See, there was nothing. and God spoke it all into existence without the help or aid of men. And of his own ability and power, God was able to bring this to pass. Now, in our scripture, we read this in our hearing this evening, we read in verse number 5, look there if you will for a moment. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day. Now, that's important. It was a 24-hour period. Now, in the evolutionist theories, they say that the 6 days are actually 6 billion years. Well, that's a long time. I heard somebody the other day say we had the hottest recorded day in the last 150,000 years. Who recorded that 150,000 years ago? Where do they have that? Where do they get that? How can they scientifically tell you how hot it was actually a week ago? Except for the records that they have. If they had no records and they said, could you tell me how hot it was a week and a half ago? They'd be hard-pressed to do that. I don't know that they could do that. But 150,000 years ago, they said this is the hottest day since then. Well, Their idea of science and what is true is convoluted, to say the least. 6 billion years. Some say the earth is 4.543 billion years old. How they come to that conclusion, I have no idea. And neither do they. In our, not in this particular passage, but another, the next chapter over, we see where Adam and Eve, God made Adam and Eve. And the evolutionist and all of the people that don't believe the Bible think that they were just literary figures, just myths. The fact that the Bible has declared certain things to be certain ways doesn't fit their ideas, so they change all that. But it would have been a lot easier for them just to believe the Bible. But there's a reason they don't, and we're going to get to that in just a little while. In this thought, we was in verse number 5, it said the evening and the morning was the first day. If they say that this is not true, well, he says it not just once, but he says it, same thing in verse number 8, except it was the second day. Verse number 13, the third day. Verse number 19, the fourth day. 23, the fifth day. 31, the sixth day, and then look in chapter 2 for a moment, please. Chapter number 2 of the book of Genesis here. Verse number 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Well, on the seventh day, God rested. So if one day is 1 million years, then God rested 1 million years. That seems kind of far-fetched, doesn't it? In our scripture reading of Genesis chapter number 1, we see that they are trying to make a day, the evolutionist, and taught in our public schools, by the way. The evolutionists say that a day doesn't mean a day. Now, I understand that there are different meanings for different words in the scriptures. I'm not that naive. We could say, well, especially some of us that are old, could say, well, I remember back in the day. Well, that's not talking about a specific day, perhaps. It might be just talking about an era of time. But here, it's not talking about an era of time. It's talking about a certain day, a specific time frame, 24 hours, the evening and the morning. And I'm going to tell you something. When the sun sets tonight and it comes back up tomorrow, it's a new day. And so we see that they try to say these don't mean literally a 24-hour period, a specific day. But in the Bible, it talks about specific days. It talks about the Sabbath day. That's a specific day. It talks about the Day of Atonement. That was a specific day. And it even talks about the first day of the week. Well, the first day of the week is not 3 or 4 weeks. It's a day. So in our scripture this morning, I'm talking about creation. It is such a vast and large topic that we can't deal with all of it, of course, but basically we come down to the fact that creation is a powerful miracle of God. The word miracle means a deviation from the known laws of nature. See, God didn't do this according to men's ideas and understanding. He exceeded that. And he created, he simply spoke, and all these things took place in the Bible and that we see today. You and I must understand that God supersedes man's understanding and knowledge. He doesn't have to fit inside of our box. For God is supreme. He is absolutely able to accomplish anything he sets out to do in the guidelines that he has set for himself. Creation is a necessary truth of the scriptures. For may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if Genesis 1:1 is not true, none of it's true. That's how important that one verse is. The importance of creation here, the theology of creation, it is of necessity that we understand that. Now, our country, of course, has deviated from God so far and so much. You say, how in the world have we gotten to where we've gotten? The way we've gotten to where we are is we've left the Word of God. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background about something here. In 1925, in Dayton, Tennessee, there was supposedly or mentioned as probably one of the most important trials of American history. It was called the Scopes Monkey Trial. And it's where they had a trial because Tennessee had a law and it was called the Butler Act. And it prohibited evolution from being taught in the public school. 1925. Now it's 1925. That's how far back this goes. And it was all, evolution was already being taught in other states, especially up north. Well, that shows you where they went. And now it had crept down and someone had taught it in Tennessee, and the ACLU of all people, of all groups, come and said, we want somebody to challenge the Butler Act, and we want them that have taught evolution to come forward, and we want to have a trial about it in a court of law. So the ACLU found a man, his last name was Scopes, in Dayton, Tennessee, that had taught evolution, and he had contacted them, or them contacted him one, and they had a great trial. They had some of the top legal minds of that day come to it. It was a huge thing. Over 200 newspapers, they said, was there, and writing everything down that happened, and it was just a big circus, almost, like atmosphere. They had little toy monkeys. They had chimpanzees there running around, all kinds of things. But underlying all of that simply was just simply an attack on the Word of God. Every bit of it. And so in that, the Butler Act was upheld. The man was found guilty, charged accordingly. And that was the first legal action against someone teaching evolution in public schools. In 1968, our wonderful Supreme Court deemed it unlawful to prevent anybody from teaching evolution in our public schools. I was born in 1960, so I was 8 years old. What is that, third grade maybe? That the Supreme Court said it's all right to teach evolution in our public schools. But the problem is, when they started teaching evolution, they did away with creation. And now we've had generation after generation, now after generation, of people that have heard only that we came from monkeys and all the things that evolution theories teach, all the things that this ungodly, unbiblical thing has been taught in our schools. Now we see the results of it. You want to know why people think they're cats? You want to know why that the things are going on that's going on? Because they've left God out of the equation. And they have attacked and still attack to this day Genesis 1:1. I was talking to Brother Matthias one day, and he said, I was talking to a doctor. I was in seeing a doctor, and I asked him what he thought about John 3:16. He said, well, I like that. I like that. I believe that. He said, what do you think about Genesis 1:1? He said, I'm not so sure about that. Brother Matthias said, if you're wrong on that, you're wrong on all of it. And I believe he's right. Here in our scripture this evening, we are looking at Genesis chapter number 1. Look there with me again, if you will, please, in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe that? That was kind of weak. Do you believe that? Amen. I'm not just wanting you to say amen just because I'm asking you that. I want you to say amen because you believe it. We also have this thing that has crept in our churches, theistic evolution. They believe in God, but yet they believe in evolution. They believe God brought to pass through evolution. There's only one issue with that. That's not what the Bible says. 6 days. 6 24-hour days. What happened in the Scopes monkey trial is the man that was saying he believed the Bible, they put him on the stand and they said, sir, are you sure that's a 24-hour day? He said, yes, I believe it is. He said, could it have been 25 hours? He said, well, perhaps. And when he said that, if it can be 25 hours, it can be 25 million years one day. And he opened the gateway for those that would be a proponent of evolution. But may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what God says. And in our scripture, we see that it says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you want to see what all he did, read the rest of the chapter, and you can see that come to pass. But may I say to you that if a man does not believe that, it warps everything else that the scriptures has to say. Because what evolution tries to do is say that things happen from evolution, and it disregards God in the whole equation. If things happen by evolution, then there is no God. And in our scripture, we see that it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you want to see if a man believes the Bible, just take it in one verse, that one. If he don't believe that one, then you know that he don't believe the rest of it. Now, he might believe that and not believe some of the other parts of it. But he must believe this. Jesus says this. Look in Mark chapter number 10, if you will, please. I can't run all the references, and I hope you understand that. Mark chapter number 10. I'll turn to some, but I want you to turn to this one, if you will, please. Mark chapter number 10. Over and over and over again, the New Testament writers verify the fact that God created the world. Look what it says in Mark chapter number 10, verse number 4. He says, and they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Now listen, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Jesus here verifies the fact that God created the world and man and woman. I tell you, that one verse right there would solve most of the issues going on in our day. God created a male and female. How simple is that? The problem is they don't believe the Bible. Jesus makes mention of that. John makes mention of that in John chapter number 1. You can just listen to these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty simple, isn't it? John lets us know that was true. Paul says this in his writings and letter to the church, the Roman church here. He says this In Romans 1, verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Colossians, you know all these verses, but I just want to remind you of them. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Over and over and over throughout Scripture, it gives us understanding that God created the heaven and the earth. This is what it says in Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Over and over and over and over, you can look in different books of the New Testament and see this truth and these facts. And I'm telling you, it is without any deniability that God created the worlds if you believe the Bible. Basically, it boils down to this. You either believe it or you don't. I can't make you believe it, but you can't make me not believe it. This is what it says in Nehemiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. It says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. There Nehemiah claims it's all of God. Let me read you this last verse here in this thought, if I can. This is what it says. Isaiah pins this down in the 40th chapter, verse number 28. Listen to what he says. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Don't you know this? Don't you know that God created the heaven and the earth? Don't you know that God made man? Don't you know that he created the male and female? And all the other things that are involved in it. God made those things. You say, well, preacher, they have examined things, rock formations and all the different things, and they have proven that Genesis 1:1 is wrong. That's a lie. Don't ever believe that. I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care what kind of scientific supposable knowledge that they have. I heard one man say this. He said, let's look at some things in the Bible. He said, when Jesus brought forth Lazarus from the dead, they could have went to Lazarus and they could have examined him every way they could. They could have touched him. They could have felt him. They could have heard him. They could have walked with him. They could have looked at him. They could have put all kinds of medical procedures on him. And I'm telling you, they could not tell you how God raised him from the dead. They could tell you he's alive. They could tell you that he's doing okay, but they couldn't tell you how God raised him from the dead. See, there are no scientific ways to prove creation was made by evolution. Although they try. And I like to hear people discuss it and to debate it. But nevertheless, whatever the end result of all their talking is, it doesn't matter. Genesis 1:1 is still in the Bible. He said you could have went to where Jesus fed the 5,000. The little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus broke them and fed all that great host of people that were there. And
And after it was over, they took up 12 baskets of fragments after it was all over. And you could have had a scientist come in after all that happened. And he could have told you the people were full, that they all said it was the best food they ever had. But he could not tell you how Jesus did that great miracle. There's no scientific explanation for it. The same thing with creation. You can't prove it. You got to believe it. Because the Bible says so. Here's the crux of the matter. Here's what it boils down to. If evolution is correct, which it's not, but if evolution is correct, then there is no God. That's the key. So, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, if there is no God, there's no Jesus. And if there is no God, there's no need for Jesus. So by denying Genesis chapter number 1, I don't care what else they claim. If they deny that fact, then there's no God, and there's no Jesus, and there's no need for Jesus. If we all just came from all the different aspects of life that they say we came from. No God, no accountability. No God, no consequences. No God, no judgment. And no God, no mercy or grace. What's the need for any of that if there's no God? The importance of Genesis 1:1 is throughout Scripture declared, but I think that we have missed the mark on how important that verse is. We as preachers don't deal with it a lot because we think most of our congregation believes it. And it's so simplistic, even although it's mind-blowing, the truth of it is so simplistic, we might mention it from time to time, and I'm as guilty as anybody. And we don't deal with it and show the significance of it. May I say to us, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if there's no God, there's no need to fear God. And the Bible says we're supposed to fear God. If there's no God, there's nobody to worship. And if there's no God, there's nobody to love. For I'm telling you tonight that God made the heaven and the earth and all that is therein. Therefore we fear Him, one that has that much power. Therefore we worship Him according to His mighty acts. And therefore we love Him, as somebody said, because He first loved us. There is a God. And Genesis 1:1 proves that. Let me read these verses to you and I'll be done tonight. In Revelation chapter number 20, we started off in Genesis chapter number 1. We're going all the way back to the back of the Bible now. And book after book and writer after writer have declared that God made the earth. In Revelation 20, I can understand why they don't want to believe there's a God. Because in Revelation 20 verse number 11 says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. Who judged them? God. If there is no God, there is no judgment. And if I was going to be judged, I would like to think there is no God. Therefore, I don't have to worry about being judged. Therefore, I can live any way I want to. Therefore, I can do anything I desire to do. Fulfilling the lust that we talked about this morning. I'm telling you, there is a God. The reason they don't want to believe Genesis 1:1 is because they don't want to face Revelation 20.
It says, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why Genesis 1-1 is so important. That's why Genesis 1-1 is essential to what we believe. If you was to ask me before I really started thinking about this, well, what's the importance of the Bible? I took you to Jesus. I took you to salvation. I took you to a lot of different things perhaps. But I'm telling you, to start it all off with, Genesis 1-1 gets the ball rolling and lays the foundation for everything we believe. Everything we believe starts with Genesis 1-1. The Bible gives a solemn warning in chapter 22 of Revelation. You're in 20. Turn over to 22, if you will, please. Verse number 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's how serious it is to change Genesis 1-1. For a change in Genesis 1-1, you change everything else. Chapter 20 is not a viable excuse or reality, because if Genesis 1-1 is not right, then Revelation 20 is not right. I'm telling you, we serve a God tonight. But sometimes we let the world get us down, the devil get us down. I know the multitudes are against what we believe. I understand that. The devil has fought the church. But I'm telling you one thing, he has fought more than anything else is the validity of the Word of God, and it starts in Genesis 1-1. It's so that now we pay our hard-earned money to the government to teach this generation the falsehoods of evolution. My soul, how we've got things backwards. I don't know what happened in 1925 at the Scopes Monkey Trial. I don't know if there's preachers everywhere preaching and standing for the Word of God. I don't know what happened when the Supreme Court said we're not going to stop the evolution being taught. And when that came in, a creation went out. I don't know what the church did at those times. But I'm telling you, friend, you and I, as people of God, must stand for this Bible and stand for the God that made the heaven and the earth. Without apology. I don't care what they think they know, where they've been, what they have learned. If they don't believe this Bible, as somebody said, they're as dumb as a box of rocks. They might be smart intellectually. They may have degrees behind their name. But if they don't believe Genesis 1-1, they're wrong. Regardless of what else they believe. May we as a church stand firm on what the Word of God has to say.